Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Nandi. While I represent the Nama Traditional Leaders Association Technical Committee on Genocide, I'm also the granddaughter of who came near Karibib in today's Namibia. My great-grandmother survived Shark Island concentration camp, and she later gave birth to my grandmother, who is a product of rape by a German settler to whom her mother was rented out. I therefore also speak as a child of a genocide survivor and as a grandchild of German brutality through the rampant acts of institutionalized and systemic rape by the German troops and the German settlers. I am living evidence of that brutality. The Nama Traditional Leaders Association represents all Nama traditional authorities that are registered and gazetted in terms of the Traditional Authorities Act of 2000 of Namibia. The overarching foundation of the NTLA is to uplift and also to speak on behalf of all the Nama people. Its Genocide Technical Committee has a very specific mandate, and that is to ensure that restorative justice is achieved for the horrific crimes against humanity that was committed by the German state. I will reflect a little bit about on the post-independence debate on reparations. Like Nandi already alluded to, before independence, it was hardly possible to address the issue of genocide, and it was only after independence that we could address this issue. So on the 26th of October 2006, the National Assembly of the Republic of Namibia, after debating a motion, unanimously adopted a resolution on the genocide against the Nama and the Obaherero people. It is this resolution that provided the basis and the mandate for engagement with the German state and also the constitution of the different stakeholders, and the roles and responsibilities of the stakeholders were outlined very clearly in this resolution as follows. I want to name these specifically, because if you look at the declaration between that has been initialed between the two envoys, it does not speak to any of these roles and responsibilities stated in the resolution. The resolution says that what happened to our people was a brutal act of genocide that was sanctioned by the German government of the day. The resolution states very explicitly that our people are entitled to demand the payment of reparations from the German state. It states that the Namibian government should be an interested party. An interested party, this is where I want to emphasize, in any discussions between its nationals, which are the Nama and Obaherero people, and the German government on the issue of reparations. That dialogue should be convened on the one hand, the German government on the other hand, and the Namibian government and representatives of the affected parties, so that they can resolve this issue amicably. This was the basis of the resolution. Although the appointment of the special envoys by the two governments were not in compliance with the National Resolution, National Assembly resolution, it nonetheless did create a vehicle to engage on the crime of genocide that was committed against the Nama and Obaherero people. It would have been therefore very logical for the envoys to look at these four principles of the resolution and to incorporate these principles into the special envoy's engagement. But unfortunately, this hasn't happened. The failure and the non-compliance of the declaration can be summarized as follows. Firstly, the joint declaration avoids to confirm that the crime of genocide was committed, and therefore the declaration uses only hypothetical language, such as from today's perspective. It also says, in inverted commas, would be called genocide in order to ensure that the brutal act of genocide is actually not acknowledged. When people say that Germany has acknowledged genocide, this is not true. It has not acknowledged genocide. What Germany is saying is that it could have been interpreted as genocide from today's perspective. Therefore, at the time that it happened, it was not genocide. That is what Germany is saying. So I don't think we should fool each other with you know, theoretical language. So in the absence of acknowledgement of genocide, in the absence of acknowledgement of reparations and legal responsibility, we cannot accept it, because we are continued to be denied the right to payment for reparations. So I want to make this very clear. You know, this notion that people keep saying, Germany has finally recognized genocide in Namibia. It has not recognized genocide. When you look at the legal argument of Germany in court, and that legal argument is reinforced in the declaration itself. And Germany is using intertemporal law in order to justify what happened. And in terms of this intertemporal law, Germany is saying that it committed these deeds against savages. That is what it says. And this, what is being said there, is being repeated in the declaration. So and therefore, you know, what is Germany prepared to apologize for? If it hasn't acknowledged genocide, what is it apologizing for? This is just diplomatic language that is being spoken in order to fool people into thinking that Germany has acknowledged something. It hasn't. So the acknowledgement of Germany remains conditional, and therefore any apology would therefore also remain. Conditional. Sorry, I'm hearing interference in the background. So this to us is unacceptable, because we are not second-class citizens on this earth. We are God's perfect creation, and we will not be reduced to beggars of a half-hearted acknowledgement and apology. The Namibian government, which has been silent for almost a decade since the passing of the resolution, has now started to impose itself on the Nama and the Ovaherero people instead of being an interested party. And this is unacceptable. There cannot be any improvement on the declaration, because the very principles on which the declaration is founded are flawed. And therefore the declaration is a racist insult to humanity. And the declaration reaffirms and confirms white supremacy and racism against African people. The official discourse has remained in denial since the independence of Namibia. Just recently, on the 2nd of October, it marked the commemoration of the extermination order against the Ovaherero people. Not a word was uttered by the highest office of the Namibian government. No official commemoration or remembrance service was held by the Namibian government. One of the first things that happened since independence was that Kasinga was declared a national remembrance day. All different affirmative action programs were put in place in order to recognize war veterans of Namibia's liberation struggle. But the people who started the first armed struggle against colonialism, who are the Nama and Ovaherero people, whether we like it or not, no affirmative action for 30 years was put in place. It is only when we started demanding that the 2006 resolution could be taken in the Namibian parliament. And this only shows the utter disdain that the Namibian nation has for what happened during the German colonial period. And it continues to have this disdain until today by saying to us that Germany has acknowledged genocide, when in fact Germany has not acknowledged genocide at all. And when in fact the very basis of the declaration that has been initialed between the two envoys is null and void. It's null and void because it doesn't say anything. Sexual violence, this is a subject that hasn't received attention in scholarship. The gendered experiences of women are not really talked about, despite the reports of widespread rape of indigenous women by the settler forces. Even prior to 1904, not a single case was heard by the German courts. Girls and women were forced to pose nude and to expose their bodies as German officers posed around them, laughing and smiling at these women. Some of these nude images were made into postcards, souvenirs were made, and other memorabilia were sent back to Germany by these soldiers. When the concentration camps were established for the few survivors, generational oral narrative tell of female-only camps that were set up to service the German troops. In the other camps, women were forced to boil heads, often of their own family members, and to scrape off the flesh with shards of glass. It is important for us to note that the sexual violence was not only a matter of coincidence or individual male sexual lust, but that it was part of the entire colonization and subjugation process. And so from rape and murder to abduction to sex slavery and forced removal of women, German settlers and the German Empire had a special fate in store for the Nama and the Ovaherero women. And this fate was a conspiracy of racism and colonial sciences towards the native woman's body. Clearly, it also marked the systematic use of sexual violence and the institutionalization of rape during and in the aftermath of the genocide. The sexual aggression found expression and was echoed in racist science, such as eugenics and also racial hygiene. So people like Eugene Fisher gained recognition and fame for notorious studies on racial hygiene, in which women were forcefully sterilized. And this also happened on many of the racially mixed people in Namibia, the majority of whom were born as a result of these institutionalized rapes. I want to dwell a little bit more on this. The goal of the settler colonizer was to create a new social and political order with the ultimate aim of securing a permanent hold of total authority. And so land was seized, including livestock and other properties. People were displaced and natural resources were extracted, with the settlers having absolutely no intention whatsoever to return any stolen goods, but rather to stay. And these stolen goods continue to remain in the hands of the settlers. 75% of the Hardap region is commercial land, and that commercial land means it is land that was taken during the genocide. It is land that was taken during apartheid, 75%. 15% of the remaining land is national parks. Only 5% is what is so-called communal land, which is actually not even communal land. It is native reserves that were established by the Germans, by Germany. That is what it is. We are not living on communal land. We are living on native reserves, and we continue to be on those native reserves. So through this process, power was consolidated across all the social institutions and also legal mechanisms that really reorganized the entire geography and the access to land. It reorganized cultural practices. It reorganized family and kinship networks. It reorganized spirituality and our identity and our link to our land. And ultimately, it resulted in political oppression, which continues to be there today. So the highly gendered and sexualized violence and the associated disempowerment of women and girls was an integral part of the colonial strategy of domination. So we cannot limit our conception of sexual violence to individual acts of rape. Rather, it encompasses a wide range of strategies that were designed not only to destroy people, but also to destroy their sense of being a people. So the project of colonial violence then established this sort of ideology that the native women and girls' bodies are innately violable, and by extension, that indigenous lands are available to be taken. So the woman's body becomes less valuable also because of what it represents to the colonizer. It represented land, it represented reproduction, it represented social cohesion, spirituality, and also cultural norms and values. So for the colonizer, the woman's body carried a symbolic meaning of the ultimate strength of the Nama and the Ovaherero people. And this is why the women were raped, not because of sexual lust. So when you force others to be unto your rule and to serve your interest, this can only be achieved when you apply some sort of violence or coercion, whether it is psychological or physical. When the Nama and the Ovaherero leaders either refused to sign the protection treaties or decided to revolt against the protection treaties, genocide was the only option left, because even military warfare completely failed to subjugate the Nama and the Ovaherero people. Therefore, keeping the people that you have colonized subservient, it becomes necessary to create psychological warfare so that you can convince them that they are lesser beings and objects that are violable, even sexually. So then your woman becomes your target because they represent the function of reproduction and community. So the native's human spirit therefore had to be broken by targeting its women and its girls. If you rape their women and girls, you declare your superiority and you convince them of their incapacity to resist. So what a better way of achieving this than to confine them to concentration camps where the balance of power is completely and unequivocally tipped in favor of the colonizer. So today, 117 or so years after the genocide, the descendants of these women, like myself, I am living evidence. The descendants of these women who endured the dehumanization of our people through sexual violence, who scrape the skulls of other children and husbands are calling on German citizens and institutions to do what is right. The disrespecting of mortal remains or of the genocide victims by cutting up their bodies for so-called scientific research and bone trade for the purpose of exhibitions, as if we are extinct dinosaurs, and as if the Nama and Ovaherero race was doomed for extinction, amounts to crime. And so any denial to return the mortal remains of Nama origin and Ovaherero origin to these very people so that they can bury these remains in accordance with our century-old customs is therefore a violation of our rights. Even the fact that those human remains that were returned to Namibia is today in the Namibian archives. That is a violation of our rights. It is a violation of our rights. You cannot transport skulls from the one archive to the other archive and pretend as if you have done something right. You are continuing a violation of the very same museums and institutions from which you took these remains. It is a violation of our rights. It is therefore our right to receive and bury the remains of our ancestors, and no government whatsoever, whether it's Namibian or German or whoever, and no institution has the right to deny us that right. Nor is this right negotiable. There's nothing, we are making it seem as if it is such a difficult thing that needs to be negotiated. There's nothing that needs to be negotiated. Return the Nama remains to the Nama people so that the Nama people can follow their rituals and their customs. That's it, it's simple as that. So in conclusion, I would just say that the recently initialed reconstruction deal is actually a reaffirmation of a new colonial state. The federal president of Germany confirmed that the 1.1 billion that is to be paid over a period of 30 years is actually a development aid gift that is wrapped in a half-hearted apology in order to soothe the ego of a former colonizer that has now turned into a new colonizer. Development aid is never free, it comes at a cost. And the way I see that cost is the reaffirmation of genocide against a native people that the German state considers savages in its legal argument and savages in the declaration itself, because it says from today's perspective. It does not recognize that it was genocide at the time that it was committed. In the court papers, Germany uses intertemporal law to justify what happened. It uses the same law to justify it in the declaration, yet in its bilateral argument, it claims to feel some sort of inexplicable moral obligation to Namibia. What moral obligation does it owe? It owes the Nama and the Ovaherero people an acknowledgement of genocide. It's not a moral obligation. It's a legal responsibility. And so the declaration does not solve anything. We need to start all over again. First by Germany acknowledging, then by Germany apologizing to the people against whom it committed this crime. The Namibian government did not exist when the genocide was committed. The Nama traditional leaders, the Nama communities were the ones who were fighting with their warriors against the German colonizer. Those same Nama people do still have Nama Gauku who are falling as their subjects under their jurisdiction. So come to our leaders. Talk to our leaders, because they are the legal representatives in this case of the Nama people. and also of the Ewairo people. I will end here. Thank you very much.